The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The war in Ukraine has shaken Germany's sense of security. But the country is also shaking off the shadows of its brutal military past. This Holocaust memorial in Berlin, a stark reminder of that history, stands close by the Reichstag, where the national parliament is moving to restore Germany's military as Europe's most powerful force. Defense Minister Boris Pistorius has overseen a 23% uptick in enlistments over last year.
How is the war in Ukraine changing Germany's view of its own security?
I grew up in the Cold War, and since February 2022, we all experienced in Germany and in Europe that the war is back. We never expected that, and we were so hopeful that it would never happen again. But it does, and we have to do everything to be able to deter and defend.
German Chancellor Friedrich Merz struck a notably cautious tone about cooperation with the United States. He warned that Europe must prepare for a fundamental shift in its relationship with Washington, even as it faces an increasing threat from Russia.
Trump did not come about overnight, and this American policy will not simply disappear overnight. It may be that things will become even more difficult with his successor. Let's prepare ourselves for the fact that we are also seeing a fundamental change in transatlantic relations. The decades of Pax Americana are largely over for us in Europe and also for us in Germany. It no longer exists as we knew it. And nostalgia is of no help here. I would be one of the last people who would not like to indulge in this nostalgia. But it's of no use. The fact is that the Americans are now pursuing their own interests very, very vigorously. And the only response to this can be for us to pursue our own interests as well.
Support for the alternative for Germany is higher than ever before.
Correspondent Evan Williams investigates the surging popularity of Germany's new right.
Now we are the party of the future.
The effort to attract a new generation.
The AfD is dominating the political discussion on TikTok.
The far-right Alternative for Germany party has long sought to cozy up to Donald Trump's MAGA movement in the U.S. Those efforts were once again on display this weekend at a black tie gala in New York, hosted by the Young Republican Club. It's a key date for MAGA-aligned Republicans and international far-right figures for whom the Trump administration has been signaling growing support.
Scarred by their country's Nazi past, Germans embraced pacifism after the Cold War. Defense spending collapsed, to the point some soldiers were buying their own gear. But Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, combined with persistent pressure from President Donald Trump for Europe to shoulder more of its own defense, transformed the landscape. Today, Germany is racing to rearm.
The race is on. We played that last bit on yesterday's show, and we've got a few more clips from 60 Minutes, from PBS Frontline. You got it from The Atlantic in recent weeks. I mean, it's all over even left-wing publications and news outlets. The new German war machine. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com, or at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily. The email address, td@thetrumpet.com. So PBS, I think their angle was more on the rise of the far-right parties in Germany, the AfD party, the growing popularity. 60 Minutes was just concentrating. This was Sunday night, just concentrating on the new German war machine. I guess they're taking the Atlantic's cue and sitting down with these German leaders saying, yeah, we didn't think there'd be a war in our future, but You look around. You look at Ukraine. You look at the United States withdrawing from NATO. We have no choice. It's like one of our Rumble viewers commented, saying that, hey, it's not about turning aggression on the United States or anything like that. I mean, I guess I'm adding a little bit to his comment. But basically, it's the perfect cover. We have to do this. We have no choice. We're being overrun by radical Islam. So we need an army. Russia's on the march. So we need a military powerhouse. It's the perfect cover. And it has, as you heard in the cold open, it has the United States blessing. Thanks to Donald Trump applying pressure. The race is on for Germany to build a powerful military to lead Europe, the Holy Roman Empire. That's, of course, the way God views it. According to Bible prophecy, the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Here's a little bit more from the PBS documentary, clip 13.
Opponents of the AfD have long been warning that the party represents a threat to German democracy. Stefan Kramer is the domestic intelligence chief in Thuringia. He's Jewish and one of the AfD's most vocal adversaries.
We're in Germany. This is Germany, and this Germany has the Holocaust experience and history. We have a principle in Germany which is called defensive democracy. It comes out of the ideas and experiences that we had with Nazi dictatorship. Remember, Hitler and his Nazi NSDAP were elected into power. They didn't do a revolution. People voted for the Nazis to take over the power.
Hitler gets a tremendous ovation when leaving for his first cabinet meeting.
Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany without ever winning a majority in an election.
The Nazi leader poses with his cabinet, which includes...
In 1933, he formed a coalition government and then legally obtained emergency powers, enabling him to ban all other parties.
Hitler basically had his playbook and worked his way up the ladder to establish his dictatorship. The Nazis used exactly those tools of democracy to take over and wipe out democracy.
Kramer's agency was set up after World War II to prevent a repeat of history and monitor extremist threats to democracy. When we first met him in early 2024, he was in northern Germany to deliver a message to city mayors.
Our right-wing extremists are on the move. Extremism is essentially everything that is directed against the liberal democratic basic order. What we are currently experiencing is not just theory. It's a hard fact that in the last 10 years, the new right has managed to conquer various social spheres in our society.
Everybody is very concerned that our defense of democracy is on the edge. The new right, the AfD, is explicitly acting against our principles of the federal constitution. This is exactly a situation that we would have never thought would occur after what we've learned in 33 to 45, and here we are.
Here we are. I mean, at least PBS is showing some of the history. That's better than most outlets. At least they're taking us. At least they're talking to this guy who's criticizing this development. It makes me think of the interview we had some time ago. Nicholas Frank, I think his name was. We were at Edstone. He came up and visited the campus from Germany. He has family members that were a part of the Holocaust, not in the Holocaust, but he was a German. And he talked about his German ancestors and how they were involved in persecuting and killing and maiming the Jews. There's not very many voices left today that are sounding the alarm, whether in Germany or the United States. This is from the American Conservative, a recent article. The rise of German nationalism exposes Washington's delusions. It says the recent electoral surge of right-wing Alternative for Deutschland has predictably triggered alarm bells throughout Washington's foreign policy establishment. Well, maybe so, but not necessarily in the Trump administration or in the MAGA movement. They're just quite happy to step aside and say, hey, build your military machine and take care of yourselves and defend yourselves. This was, the article refers back to the gains the AFD made earlier this year, I think back in February. If you go back a year from now, or a little more than a year, remember Elon Musk when he was out there basically cheering on the AFD. This is clip 15 from the same PBS documentary.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Unfortunately, I can't hear you very well. So hopefully, wow. Hello, everyone. I hope you can hear me well.
It was less than a month before the German federal election.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that I'm very excited for the AfD, and I think you're really the best hope for Germany.
Elon Musk was addressing a rally for the hardline nationalist party, AfD, Alternative for Deutschland.
It's good to be proud of German culture, German values, and not to lose that in some sort of multiculturalism that dilutes everything. The German people are sort of really an ancient nation. It goes back thousands of years.
This is absolutely unprecedented. A foreign billionaire using this platform that he owns to support a radical, if not extremist, party during the election campaign was a first for Germany and probably a first for many European countries. It was like an act of recognition.
Some alarming parallels there between today and the 1930s. I think that previous clip we played talked about Hitler coming in without a majority of votes. He didn't really come in the strong democratic way, you could say. And then you think about what we've written about the Daniel 8 man, how that he comes in by flatteries. My father has said he's not voted in. But he's just, you know, he's pushed in because, well, we have to. We have no choice. Look at what's happening to our nations. Look at what's happening to Europe. Look at the threats coming from Putin. The perfect cover, this article from the American Conservative, it basically makes a point that the AFD is really pretty good for America. It's not so bad. It says here, Germany will not become the Fourth Reich. NATO will not collapse because Germans question whether their prosperity should be sacrificed to support an unwinnable proxy war, and the transatlantic alliance will better survive if it's based on genuine shared interests rather than enforced conformity to Washington's agenda. So this is a good thing. And just so you know, history's not going to repeat itself. Germany's not going to become the Fourth Reich. NATO's not going to collapse. Well, I think God has something to say about that. What if they're wrong? I mean, as we've said in our literature, I forget who said it, but I mean, you can only make this kind of a mistake once and then that's it. That's it. It's not like you have a second opportunity to correct course. The stakes are enormous this time around because these nations have nuclear weapons, or at least Germany has access to them through the European Union. The seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. I mean, this book right here, if you don't have it yet, make sure you call our operators and request your free copy. No cost, no obligation. Freely you have received, said Jesus, freely give. And that's what we do. Now is the time to make sure we have our noses in the Bible, that we're studying the Word of God daily to see if these things are so, as the Bereans did in Acts 17. We need God's perspective. We need God to shed light on these momentous events. I mean, even if you leave aside what the Bible says, just look at the history from 80, 90 years ago. That's not that long in the grand scheme of things. That's not that long of a recess. Okay, it's longer than the recess between World War I and World War II. But still, look at the carnage that man has brought on just in the last century. What is it? Something like 200 million human beings slaughtered in our modern era? How is this even possible? If, as the thinking is, what so many scholars and even theologians, we're coming into this golden age of religious revival. Well, look at the last century. Look at the last century of human history. And look at what nations have done to other nations or peoples. And then consider what Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, the Olivet Prophecy, Luke 21, Mark 13. Great tribulation. That's what we're looking into the face of. We're staring it eye to eye. It's right in front of us. This is from the 60 Minutes program the other night, clip 9.
This past month, we were invited by the Bundeswehr, the German military, to observe basic training as a squad of recruits ran punishing drills, honing the skills they would need to defend against an enemy assault.
Everything we are training here for could be one day real. We don't hope that, but we're preparing exactly for that.
Because of the war in Ukraine?
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course. The perfect cover. The Bundeswehr invited 60 Minutes in. So they're not trying to conceal this. 60 Minutes is excited about it. So is The Atlantic. This is unbelievable. This is happening. And speaking of the perfect cover, there's so much else going on in this world. I covered a lot of it yesterday on the show. So much violence, massacres of Jews. And it, just even in that alone, Satan has obscured so much of the true significance of what's happening in the heart of Europe. Politico, forget the far right. The kids want a United States of Europe. This was touched on in the morning brief. The kids! Yeah, the children, they know this is a new time. Politico says a futuristic EU soldier stands guard, laser blaster at the ready. European fighter jets zoom through the sky over thumping Eurodance beats. An imaginary map shows a vastly enlarged EU swallowing everything from Greenland to the Caucasus. Welcome to the wild world of pro-Europe online propaganda, where the EU isn't a fractious club of 27 countries, but a juiced-up superpower on par with China or the United States, only wiser and more cultured. Uh-oh. You mean a competitor with China and with the U.S.? This is what the young people are stirring up on social media, on TikTok and other platforms? Could this ever happen? Again? Says this type of content, which reimagines the EU as a pan-European empire, a European federation, or a United States of Europe. Where did you hear that term? Decades and decades ago. Well, that would be from Herbert Armstrong. You see right here, he was right. It talks about the next and final superpower to come out of the heart of Europe. It talks about the coming European dictator. Yeah, he comes in by flatteries. And then when he's in there, I mean, just like Hitler did, he does away with democratic votes and he's got the power. And then Revelation 17:12 says all the other nations, they rally around the beast for 1 hour. There's unity. There's power. There's superpower. It says here, a European Federation or the United States of Europe. Take your pick. It's flooded social media platforms over the past 2 years, garnering billions of views collectively on X, TikTok, and Instagram. Such pro-EU memes are flowing thicker and faster than ever. You know, you could sit there and say, well, that's just young people on TikTok. But look, billions of views. Europeans want this. Germany wants this. America wants this. And it'll go forward, this German war machine, this new war machine. It'll go forward with plenty of cover. from radical Islam infiltrating the European continent, from the threat of Putin, from the fact that, as Herbert Armstrong said back in the 1980s, I think it was, that you can't trust America anymore. We have no choice. We've got to do this. Says Europe's online glow-up is reflected in polls showing support for the EU at an all-time high. Strong majorities of Europeans across all age groups now favor more deeply integrated security and defense. I mean, I'm old enough to remember. This work has been around for 36 years. We just passed our anniversary. But going back to the 1990s, when there was political union and then there was economic union, you know, for years, we were writing at thetrumpet.com wondering, when is the military union going to happen? It's happening. It's happening. No more delay. You think of verses like that, Revelation 10 and verse 6. There is nothing slowing it down now. If anything, as you saw in the cold open, it's President Trump that's encouraging it. Speed it up. Let's get going. I mean, this is MAGA in Europe. You got to get the right wing to power in Europe. You got to get the strong leader. You got to get a strong defense. And then you can mind your business, we'll mind ours. That's the thinking. As if history doesn't exist. As if history has ended. To say nothing of Bible prophecy. Chilling stuff, for sure. Listen to this again from 60 Minutes, clip 11.
So have you seen a difference in the recruits of today versus years past?
Yes, I think there's a huge difference. They know what they're here for, and it's getting more clear to them that everything we are training here for could be one day real.
Huge difference. We're preparing for the reality of war. Politico says, Politico reached out to 11 of the users behind the accounts. One thing they all have in common, they're under the age of 35. These wildly popular accounts on TikTok, Instagram, or wherever, celebrating the Holy Roman Empire, the coming Holy Roman Empire, basically. And all these are young people. Yeah, it is different. I agree with that soldier there. It's different this time around. The years of pacifism are over. The years of relying on the U.S. security umbrella, over. The Times of Israel, it reviewed a new study showing Germany never denazified. Ah, ho-hum. Another yawn. As you look at the titles, the headlines, nothing to worry about here. Who told you about Germany never denazifying? Back in the 1990s when that declassified document came out. I think it was in 1996. My father writes about it in the Conquest of the Balkans booklet. Earlier this year, the Institute of Contemporary History, Munich, Berlin, completed a six-year study of the personnel files of the Chancellery, one of the most powerful and important institutions in Germany. Their findings show that during the first decade of the new Federal Republic, two-thirds of those hired to work for Chancellor Konrad Adenauer had previously belonged to the Nazi Party. Well, they just continued as if nothing happened. Even in defeat, they just went right back to their jobs. No problem at all. Not held to account. It says here, reflecting the German Chancellor's central role in the country's politics, the Federal Chancellery of Germany is comparable to the White House and number 10 Downing Street. Another one here. Well, it's the same article, actually. The study shows that the Chancellor's desire to draw a line under Germany's darkest hour often translated into a desire to look abroad. For all the talk of coming to terms with the Nazis' crimes, the press office and the country's embassies abroad appeared at times to prioritize the image of the perpetrators, not the perspective of the victims. Look, let's focus on showing mercy to the perpetrators. Forget about the victims. That's the spirit that comes from the devil. You see, it's alive and well in America and other nations too. You see it in Australia. Yeah, let them just spew their Jew hatred all over the place. You know, we don't want to be Islamophobic. We don't want to be racist. I mean, if they want to fly the Hamas flag in Sydney, Australia, then more power to them. Hamas has, I mean, they have families too. They have sons. We've got to try to find common ground. It says here, ironically, some of those responsible for those crimes had been allowed to work in the highest office in the land and had played a role in building the democracy that now allowed Germans to wrestle with their collective past. So you put all these stories together. Recent headlines, Times of Israel, The Atlantic, 60 Minutes, PBS. Put them all together and you see some reoccurring themes. Germany is the head of Europe. Germany is rebuilding a war machine. Europe is united in support of that effort. Germany never did denazify after World War II. And then another reoccurring theme, well, history can't really repeat itself. Of course not. It would never happen again. Never. Never, never, never. Forget about 200 million human beings being slaughtered in the last century. Just act like that didn't happen. Act like human nature just keeps getting better. Just act like we're improving. We're growing. Act like peace is breaking out everywhere. You can mention, give a token reference to the massacres, offer your condolences, but then move forward and tell everyone and live as if you know you're right on the cusp of world peace. You can see why the Bible puts it so succinctly. As soon as they say peace and safety, that's your cue. You know sudden destruction's coming. You know it. And in all honesty, you can know it either by looking at history or Bible prophecy. Happy for us, we've got both. So we better get ready. We better be prepared. George Friedman says European unification, it's a geopolitical necessity. Wow. Yeah, we have to have this. It's a must. The European Union consists of 27 sovereign states. These nations speak different languages, have different cultures, and harbor ancient distrust of one another. It says when the question, what will Europe do, is asked, it assumes that Europe is an entity that makes decisions for the whole. In fact, Europe was and still is only a continent. Individual European countries are relatively weak compared to the continent as a whole and consist of once and potentially future enemies that constitute an ancient and hostile geopolitical system of various economic and military powers. It says, in large measure, these nations need but are unable to merge into a single state with each country organized as a province with a degree of autonomy, having a central government and legislature. Now, open your Bible. Look at Revelation 17. Let's just read it. Let's see what happened. Let's see what's prophesied. It says here, and the beast that was, verse 11, and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh that goes into perdition. And the 10 horns, that would be the last 10 kings, or the 10 kings of the last and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings, or provinces, you might say, 1 hour with the beast. And then verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. They throw their support, even their national sovereignty, behind the beast power. And here again, you go back to the signature prophecy of Herbert Armstrong 50, 60, 70 years ago. He was right. He was right. You can order this brochure. No cost, no obligation. Everything we offer on this program is offered free of charge. It says here, the continent, this is Friedman, the continent must recognize that being European is a meaningless phrase if Europe is merely the name of an inherently vulnerable and unstable geopolitical region. Or it can choose to be a great power itself. Well, how about that? For the United States, disengagement from Europe is imperative. At the same time, disengagement now could force the Europeans to do something unlikely, rationalize their own situation by uniting. Even so, this is incredible. It's like one of our viewers commented to me, emailed me and said, it's incredible to think that Jeroboam is leading a resurgence in America and also accelerating the formation of the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire in Europe. It's all unfolding as God said that it would. It's electrifying, really, particularly when you know what this is leading into. Now, there's lots of carnage and violence and bloodshed in the immediate future. That's what's prophesied. But when you contrast that with God's coming world, God's future world, it's stark. Europe must face the fact that alliances are elective affinities. United States are far sturdier. He says United States, not in the America sense. A United States of Europe. Can you believe that we're actually hearing this in commentary now? As if it's almost a matter of routine. The United States of Europe. Where did you hear that term first? You heard it first with Herbert W. Armstrong. When so many people, like 2 Peter 2 or 3 says, were scoffing. They were scoffing. How could this ever? Germany's a pacifist nation. America controls NATO. America is Europe's security umbrella. What are you talking about, United States of Europe? Well, here we are. He was right. How is it possible? How is it possible that you've got a temporary resurgence in America, even as you're seeing an acceleration of that final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire? My father wrote in April, the Trumpet magazine, he said, I have praised President Trump over the years for his courageous actions. However, President Trump has made some serious mistakes, and I have pointed these out as well. Most of these mistakes revolve around one issue, peace. President Trump has done a lot of great things for America, but he has a serious blind spot when it comes to peace negotiation and international diplomacy. That's where the blind spot is. Taking those shots at Europe, telling Europe you need to go it alone, applauding Europe for its its breakaway from America, for building up its war machine, and then reaching out to so many of these dictators and terrorist groups as if you can talk sense into them, as if they're reasonable diplomats themselves. It's a recipe for disaster. Shows just how naive and silly, really, to use the language of the Bible, American diplomats have been. A couple weeks ago, they had the big national security strategy that we just put on public display for the whole world to see. And it basically says, yeah, we kind of won out of Europe, and eventually we kind of won out of the Middle East. Well, what's going to fill that void? What power, what superpower is going to fill the void that America leaves behind? That's what we want to be thinking about. If you consider what Jeremiah chapter 1 says about Europe, it describes Europe as a boiling pot. I mean, again, they may look like a collection of left-wing elitists at the moment or globalists that are just letting radical Islam take over the continent. But at the same time, you've got Elon Musk up there saying, yeah, AfD is the future of Germany. We've got to put our trust in the far right. And then Jeroboam's administration saying, listen, they need a German military machine, a new one, new and improved. Suicide drones, all the latest technology, you name it. Germany is arming for war. And you hear the soldier there saying, yeah, I think it's a different time. Now we've got young people coming into the Bundeswehr that realize this is real. This is real. This is going to happen. Listen to Mr. Armstrong. This is Herbert Armstrong from 1983, clip 19.
This world is right now in the first stages of the crisis at the close of this age or of this whole world, this present world. And another better world is coming. Right now, everything is stepping up. God has delayed certain events, but he says that he will make a short work and cut it short suddenly. Jesus gave us the expression of how it'll come when it is least expected. And like a rat getting caught in a trap that snaps when it didn't even know it until it was caught. And that's how suddenly things are going to happen very, very soon. How much longer God will delay before he does that, I don't know. But there's every reason why I can sense that we're coming very, very close to that time. Europe is reuniting. And when it is reunited, our work will be finished. And that will lead fairly quickly into the second coming of Christ in the world tomorrow. So the world is at a crisis.
So events were held up to some degree during that time when he was giving that message, 1983. I mean, that's a fairly long time ago. 40 some years ago. Europe is reuniting. And when it's reuniting, God's work will be about finished. That's where we are. It's happening fast. That Rumble comment I mentioned. Germany and the EU need to rearm. Not for war, but to fight off the Islamist slowly taking over our countries. We don't need it for war. We just need it to secure our borders, you see. As I said earlier, it's the perfect cover. Meanwhile, Mertz and others, the era of Pax Americana, it's over. It's time for us to go it alone. And then you have the American, the British diplomats, for their part, basically saying history can't repeat itself. Germany needs to be a powerhouse. The stronger Germany is, the better and safer the world will be. He was right. I just want to refer you to the very first. It's a collection. He was right. All of these prophecies from Herbert Armstrong, God inspired it over the course of 57 years. And when you turn it open to page one, you get to the signature prophecy. Is a world dictator about to appear? I mean, and it goes back to the plain truth from whenever that was, 1934. That's how early Mr. Armstrong was in on this. Almost 100 years ago. Is a world dictator about to appear? And you see Adolf Hitler there, the full page spread of him on the other side of the article. History's repeating itself. In that article, my father says here, by 1944, the Germans knew they would lose World War II and were already planning for the next round. So that's like the Times of Israel just this week. They never did denazify? Herbert Armstrong, he said it way back in the day. Existing financial reserves in foreign countries, the document says, must be placed at the disposal of the party so that a strong German empire can be created after the defeat. Well, it's happening a little later than we thought, but it's happening. That's the thing. Think about how many of God's people got hung up on the fact that, well, I mean, I guess it's not going to happen. I guess it's not going to end as soon as we thought it would. Where are those people today? What happened to them? What about their faith? When the U.S. declassified this document, it's talking about the 1996 document, that basically said they never did denazify. It received only sparse news coverage. I mean, it should have just been wall-to-wall coverage. As it is, yeah, ho-hum. They didn't denazify. They're rebuilding the military machine. Europe is united. But just know, history's not going to repeat itself. No. It's going to be so much more peaceful and prosperous this time. It says, we don't understand German thoroughness. From the very start, this is quoting Mr. Armstrong, from the very start of World War II, they have considered the possibility of losing this second round. as they did the first, and they have carefully, methodically planned in such eventuality the third round, World War III. Hitler is lost. This round of war in Europe is over, and the Nazis have gone underground. I mean, that's exactly the way it's described in Revelation 17. And now you're reading in the Times of Israel that the Nazis never did, or rather the Germans never did denazify. They just went underground. And now they have perfect cover to come back above ground and to say, hey, 60 Minutes, come on over here. Take a look at the Bundeswehr. Take a look at the tone in Germany. It's different. We're in a new age. Young people are all behind the war machine. Mr. Armstrong reiterated that same warning numerous times right up until his death in 1986. And well, we have continued in those same footsteps. Alarming events for sure. I mentioned yesterday on the show, you know, these comments that President Trump made before the Christmas party. I mean, we're coming into a time where it's supposed to be a time of peace, world peace, unity. I mean, it's the Christmas spirit, right? Well, I mentioned yesterday, this is the time of year, actually, when you see an increase in depression, drug addiction, misery, people that are committing suicide, family. I don't even have time to get into all of the statistics about domestic violence and abuse. You know, I mentioned the Hollywood filmmaker yesterday being murdered by evidently a relative of his, a son. Allegedly, his wife too. That's just, I mean, those are the elites. You think about all that's happening right across the country, and then the massacres, the Jew hatred, the assassinations. It just stood out to me. President Trump, he opened and you can't doubt the man's sincerity. It's not like it's wrong to offer your condolences. But it just struck me that in those comments before that Christmas party, you had at the start of it, all of these horrific things that he was drawing attention to happening in this world. And then at the same time, as soon as he got past the condolences, he talked about all these amazing things that are happening. There's just enough in Satan's evil world for human beings to latch onto to convince themselves, yeah, it's still a good world. It's still a world that's going to bring peace. It's still a world where we can all have universal prosperity and happiness and joy to go around. Note the contrast in the president's remarks just the other night, clip 4.
Before we begin, however, I want to just pay my respects to the people, unfortunately, two are no longer with us, Brown University, 9 injured, and 2 are looking down on us right now from heaven. And likewise in Australia, as you know, that was a terrible attack, 11 dead, 29 badly wounded. I must say in Syria also, we had an attack in Syria. And we had 3 great patriots terminated by bad people. Yep, that's a terrible situation going on over there. Think of that. And Brown University, great school. Great, really one of the greatest schools anywhere in the world. Things can happen. So I just want to say this was an amazing period of time. Our country has been turned around much faster than I thought. We have a country that potentially is geared to have the most incredible golden years ever. We're going to have, it's the golden age. I say it's the golden age of America. We have things happening like nobody's ever seen before. We have a great country. It's a great time to have Christmas.
All the positives, as I say, just enough there to convince humanity, to convince human nature, to convince Americans that everything's great. CBS News says almost 5.4 million Americans have reported being victims of domestic violence over the last 5 years. The majority, nearly 80%, were women. And according to the FBI, domestic homicides more than doubled between 2019 and 2024. Domestic homicides have doubled in 5 years' time. I mentioned those verses yesterday in 2 Timothy 3. Without natural affection, disobedient to parents. You can look at the last few verses in Romans 1, as I read yesterday. I mean, that's the world as God sees it. That's the world as God prophesied it would be 2,000 years ago. All of this violence. Domestic violence remains one of the most persistent public health and safety crises in our time. You look at the 47,000 gun-related deaths that happen in the United States every year. All of the suicides. I don't have all of the stats on these epidemics of violence, of depression, of suffering. So, I mean, you've got to look at the resurgence through that lens. And more importantly, you've got to see this world the way God sees it. Look back into the Bible, the Old Testament, the period of Judges. And my father, in the form of prophet's book, he talks about this being the bloodiest book in the Bible, the bloodiest era in Israel's history. And, you know, you study Judges. There's some valuable lessons that you can take away from it. But you see the sin cycle. Every once in a while, a righteous judge would come along, Gideon or Deborah, whoever, and would lead a mini resurgence and try to get the people back to God and try to preach repentance toward God. And to the degree that the Israelites repented, I mean, things improved. Things changed for the better. But over that dreadful period, what was it, 300-400 years? I forget. Centuries it went on. And just when you step back and you look at the big picture, I mean, what is God's assessment of that time in Israel's history? He concludes the book in Judges 21 and verse 25 saying everyone was just out there doing what seemed right in their eyes. They weren't looking at anything from God's perspective. My point is, God saw that period and said, this is an evil time. And we've talked about the temporary resurgence happening in America right now, saying that, you know, you can't let that cause you to drift into a state of complacency or a false sense of security. Even with the many resurgences that happened in the Judges period, God's assessment of that period was it was a dreadful time. It was a time of man doing what seemed right in his own eyes. Now, you look into the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul says all of this history, the period of the judges and elsewhere, I mean, all of it is for us. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, it says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. I mean, that bloody history is recorded in the book of Judges for our benefit. It's for our example, so that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past, so that we don't drift into a state of complacency, so that we don't assume that we can just continue on in our sins with impunity. But look at man. Look at Israel. I mean, most of Israelites don't even know who they are in prophecy or history. We haven't learned the lesson. As I said, you look back at this horrible century in so many ways, the last 110 years, 200 million, at least 200 million human beings have been slaughtered because of world war or because of intense conflict, war in isolated areas, all the wars. And this is coming at a time, by the way, when mankind established the United Nations for the purpose of ending war. How did that go? Well, the UN is still around, and so is war. So is war. And no amount of dialogue about how many wars have ended is going to change the fact that we're living in an evil world that's about to explode in violence and war. Have we learned the lesson of even recent history? Man's attempts to make peace They keep failing. They keep failing. And just to, again, draw on the lesson from the book of Judges, when God looks at this world, what does he see? What does he see? When he inspired Paul to say this present evil world, why didn't Paul qualify it and say, well, you know, there are horrific atrocities. There are some massacres, but, you know, there's also quite a few good things. Satan is a master deceiver. Even the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in large part, this is how he deceives mankind into thinking the world is good. Well, there's some good efforts here. We're making some progress. We're having some good dialogue. We've added to our security. We're trying to build up and empower other nations too. We want them to be strong. We want Germany to put Germany first. That's how, just like the strategic paper said, that's how we have peace in the world. If everyone is strong, if every nation puts their nation first, is that the way? Is that the way to build peace? Coming back to God's assessment, I gave you the verse yesterday, 1 John 5 and verse 19. And we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in wickedness. I've emphasized before just the totality of this world and the fact that God sees it as a wicked world. It doesn't mean God doesn't love mankind or that there's no hope for mankind. There is. And it doesn't even mean that it's wrong to contrast evil with good. The gospel writer John did that all through his writings. He would contrast light with darkness. He would contrast evil with good. He would contrast the Word and the one who became Jesus Christ with Satan the devil. He would contrast the Father with the Father of this world. Read John 8 and verse 44. I mean, those are powerful opposites. But in all those cases, God is contrasting this present evil world, which he sees as evil, Galatians 1, 4, as wicked, 1 John 5, 19. He contrasts this present evil world with God's wonderful world tomorrow. And then you think, wow, this is awesome. To think about what's coming, to think about what's just ahead of us. It's darkest before the dawn, but a new dawn is coming. Speaking of these powerful contrasts or opposites, my father writes in the last hour, he says, consider the depth of his unique expressions. Speaking of the gospel writer John, who wrote the epistles and Revelation as well, he uses powerful opposites. Light and darkness, life and death, love and hate, truth and lies, Father and the world, sons of God, sons of the devil, to have life and not have life, to know God, to not know God. My father says there are no gray areas with John. And that's why God could say, yep, the whole world is deceived. The whole world is wicked. The whole world is evil. Because there's no gray areas with God. In God's world, and that world is it's begotten right now as the church. It's about to be born. A new world is coming. And when it's all said and done, that world, the whole of it, will be good and righteous. The whole, it won't be wicked, it'll be upright. It'll be obedient. It'll be, as Mr. Armstrong says in his wonderful booklet, it'll be wonderful. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.